From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. The shutdown is over, but the effects are lingering in places as far-flung as Antarctica, as we'll hear in a few minutes.
But first, we want to check in with three reporters around the country about how what just happened in Washington is reverberating with people. Ben Philpott is political reporter for Here and Now, contributing station KUT in Austin, Texas. Ben, welcome.
Hello.
And Jamie Self covers politics for the state newspaper in Columbia, South Carolina. She's with us as well. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. And Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics, is joining us from Lansing. Bill, welcome.
Hello there.
And let me start with you, Bill, because with the effects of the shutdown, tell us what you saw or did not see during the shutdown in Michigan.
Here in Michigan, we've got parks than we do military bases. So a lot of applause from, for instance, the parks ranger at Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore on the shores of Lake Superior. All the fall color up there, people in boats looking at the rocks. He's glad to be back in business.
Jamie, what about you in South Carolina? Did you see effects of the shutdown?
Yes, and I was actually at a meeting yesterday with the South Carolina Military Task Force, and representatives of our four major military communities were there and talking about how, you know, even though they're bouncing back from the furloughs, the anxiety and uncertainty that military employees are feeling has also had some harm. So they're kind of looking forward to January to see if the Congress can find a less disruptive way around the debt negotiations.
You're talking about, of course, the effects also of the sequester, which has had an impact on the Defense Department.
Right, that too. And actually, several of the members said that it looks likely that the sequestration will continue next year, maybe another year. So,
which is something that we've also been hearing from economists, that that's the expectation. Ben Philpott, what about you in Texas? What has been the effect of the shutdown on that state?
Well, Texas does have also several military bases that, you know, they don't like the idea of not knowing exactly where some of the funding's coming from. But, you know, we don't have a lot of parks and monuments here in the state. I mean, the closest national park that I think closed down in Texas is about a day and a half drive from Austin. So you didn't see, I mean, obviously there were plenty of people laid off at federal courthouses and or furloughed, but we didn't see a whole lot of, outward disappointment or upset around the state, really.
So as a result of that, yeah, tell me about how people felt about it. Did they even notice it in a place like Texas?
They definitely noticed it. I mean, you've got Republicans who were following it very closely, especially the Tea Party in the state, trying to make sure that everyone was falling in line with Senator Ted Cruz's attempts to defund Obamacare and get something done through this whole process. So you had those groups watching to make sure Republicans voted the right way, which was to vote to not voted to continue the shutdown, voting against the compromise. And every Republican in the state did that. So, you know, they guess maybe will be able to not have a big challenge in the primaries in March.
And Jamie, in South Carolina, how did people feel about it there? Because in that state, all but one Republican in the delegation voted to keep the shutdown going, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. You're absolutely right. It depends on who you ask. You know, if you ask a family of one of the 800 or more children who, you know, lost their Head Start child care at the beginning of the shutdown, I'm sure they have a different story about it than if you ask one of the GOP members of our congressional delegation. And like you said, all of them voted against the deal, except for Senator Lindsey Graham, who's sort of separating himself from the pack in doing so.
What about you, Bill Ballinger? You're in the one state of this group that could really be described as a swing state. How do people feel about what just happened with the shutdown?
Somebody took a poll yesterday asking the electorate here how they felt about the impending shutdown or whatever. And actually, 80% of the people here in Michigan answered the poll saying it did not personally affect me or us. So there's some real question. I mean, I don't think our results were that much different from those in other states if the same question was asked. How much impact it's going to have. I think, you know, reading newspaper headlines, listening to the radio, watching TV, you'd think the sky is falling, but in terms of people really feeling it here, I don't think they did as much as you might believe.
Well, let's talk about the political fallout, because all three of you are in states where there probably will be some political fallout. I want to start with you in Texas, Ben, and let me listen to what Senator Ted Cruz, who many people blame for this entire situation, had to say. He spoke after the deal was reached with Jonathan Karl of ABC News.
What I intend to do is continue to stand with the American people working to stop Obamacare.
So you might do it? It's under consideration?
What I intend to do is continue standing with the American people to work to stop Obamacare, because it isn't working, it's costing people's jobs, and it's taking away their health care.
He was, when he was asked, you might do it, he was talking about whether there will be a push for another shutdown in a few months. Ben Philpott, how is Ted Cruz making it through all of this in the state of Texas?
Well, you know, to quote a friend of mine yesterday, he said that all the criticism that he's gotten, it's like the criticism is spinach and he is Popeye. Hmm. He takes it and he gets stronger. He becomes more, he becomes the superstar of the state. And, you know, he also, another thing protecting him is he's got another 5 years before reelection. Every other congressional Republican or every other member of the Texas congressional delegation has to run for re-election, including our Senator John Cornyn, this coming year. And all of them, of course, have fallen in line with Ted Cruz's ideals on this and voted to keep the shutdown going.
So Cornyn did vote to end the shutdown or to keep it going?
No, to keep it going. Sorry.
But he has to face re-election now.
He has to face re-election. At the moment, he does not have an opponent in the Republican primary, and many Tea Party groups in the state kind of continually are grumbling about it, saying, why do we not have somebody who can go against this candidate who only a Tea Party group in Texas would consider not conservative enough?
Jamie, in South Carolina, this is a state where Lindsey Graham is, Senator Lindsey Graham, who was the sole Republican member of the state's congressional delegation to vote for the deal to end the shutdown. Now he's facing some trouble from the right. Sarah Palin has targeted South Carolina as a place where maybe a conservative challenger could come in and challenge Lindsey Graham, right?
Right. And, you know, Palin endorsed our governor and gave her quite a boost. And she was the underdog in her gubernatorial race. With Senator Graham, he's facing three GOP challengers. Mm. And, you know, it's still too early to tell whether they can edge him out. I mean, he has nearly $7 million combined. They have less than $500,000 right now. So I think the question is, can they attract outside supporters? Can they get a key endorsement to kind of boost their campaign and see if they can really, I guess, rattle his cages?
And Bill Ballinger in Michigan, the opposite is happening. Justin Amash, a Tea Partier, is getting a challenge from the middle, right?
Correct. In the 3rd District, Grand Rapids area. Also, there's a challenge in what is called the 9th District in Oakland County, just northwest of Detroit. An incumbent named Kerry Bentivoglio, who's a Tea Party libertarian incumbent freshman, is getting a challenge from an establishment conservative lawyer named David Trott. Hmm. So we've got an open seat race for the U.S. Senate next year, and frankly, it's been pretty much silence from the likely Democratic and Republican nominee on the shutdown.
Huh. Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics. We also heard from Jamie Self at the state newspaper in Columbia, South Carolina, and Ben Philpott at KUT in Austin. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure.